place. And when the singing starts, it's just like the singing yesterday. And you just realize you're in church. You know, and what reminds you in church isn't the structure around you. It's the Bible that comes out, and it's the preaching. And when they go home, they won't go out to dinner. You know, there's not, you don't have to worry about beating the Presbyterians out so you can get to church. You get to the restaurant first. None of that stuff. Or wondering, hey, did we beat Victory out? Or, you don't have to worry about any of that. Plenty of lines in the restaurant because there is none, And, they get their little stuff and they walk back to their homes. And they don't have church Sunday night because the journey to get there Sunday morning is usually pretty big. And, but on Sunday morning, the service will last a couple hours, 2-3 hours. Nobody's in a big hurry. They just sing and sing and sing and sing. And when they're done singing, it's time to preach. And you can preach however long God lays it on your heart. And, they go home. But it just reminds me that you can't put God in a box. Right? And it's different all over the world. And we're blessed to be here. And I love your pastor. He's a good friend. You know that verse that says iron sharpens iron. I learn a lot from him. He's got qualities that I don't have. I am not organized at all. Nice to have a good friend. It's funny. He was checking on us the whole way there yesterday, and I felt so bad because I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, preacher, about, I had my church praying, please help the airline. Please let me not get delayed, because I took off and landed 4 times before I left Africa. Every one of those times is a place that you could get delayed, like Christian did. It's like you just don't know what's going to happen. And I never thought about praying from the drive from the airport to here. I'm looking at the map and I'm thinking, we're watching it and it's actually adding minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. I'm like, hey, Andrew, what's happening here? I never prayed about that part. Let me share this with you in 2 Samuel. Chapter 21 or 22. I've told you before about taking a chair and sitting it down in a chapter or verse. It's the only way that my mind works, and to be able to help grasp the concept of who God is. How do you understand and relate to a being that is supernatural? Actually seeing God himself, the Spirit of God, I don't even know if in heaven, obviously you'll see the brightness of it. But God himself is so overwhelmingly powerful, a human being just cannot even comprehend, that part of who he is, right? And it's, do you know that he can do anything? Yes. He literally can do anything because he's God. Right. And trying to grasp a person who has no rules other than the rules he himself sets on himself, is pretty amazing. But more so, this God who has everything created you and I for a unique purpose that nothing else in creation can fill that spot. An angel can't fill that spot. No animal can fill that spot. No planet can fill that spot. No solar system can fill that spot. It was something, even the beasts that fly around the throne cannot have a relationship with God the way we can have a relationship with God, because they were not made for that purpose. They were made to, when you look at them, you see these unique beings in it, and it's a representation of who God is and what he can do, and they fly around holy, 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 but it's not something that God would want to go then and spend the afternoon and walk in a garden with. Only man can do that. And it's because he made man that way. He knew what he needed as God, and what the only, to have everything but nothing to share it with is a unique phenomenon even here on earth. There are people who have all kinds of stuff, but there's still that interaction, and he made you and I to interact with him, to be that. And so even when sin entered the world, how he felt about us didn't change. He stayed with that relationship, which is phenomenal, right? Because that's how unique of a being we are and how he created. Remember this, let us make man in our image. Okay? So when he did that in some way, some shape, some form, there's some things about us that resemble God. Now, I don't know all that because certainly never seen him. But then David here, who we know had a lot of troubles, most of them brought on by himself, by decisions that he made that caused his path in life to be a little bit more difficult, which I'm sure everybody in this room can relate to. You know, one thing that I've learned about Christians is that there's some things I just don't need to know because I already know them. I don't need to know everything you've done in your life. All I need to know is that you're a human being. And human beings are born sinners. You're born that way. All right, I'm born that way, you're born that way. Everybody in this room is born as a sinner. So I can relate to sinners. Why? How come I can relate to a sinner? Because I'm a sinner. Okay, I know my struggles. Now they may vary from person to person and path to path, but they're still struggles. There's things that you're disappointed about yourself, and there's things I'm disappointed about myself. There's things I want to do better, and there's things you want to do better. The list may look different as far as what you write down and name it. It's still the same. You could be in this room, saved for 40 years, and you would look at that list and realize that there are some things you still have not marked off that list. Things that still plague you and struggle, the things that you are actively working on, just like I am. And David had that same path, right? I mean, there were times when God himself went to David and said, David, you're guilty. But that did not change the relationship and the love that God had for David. Amen. And what you read here in 2 Samuel is a very unique time where he's going to show you a very intimate way of how he thought. He's sort of telling a story within a story. So let's look at that. Father, thank you for this morning. I pray you'd help us. Help us with the word. And thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor. And what a great idea yesterday. Lord, it's oftentimes we live around other Christians and forget that we're brothers and sisters. And I thought it was a really neat representation of the kingdom of heaven, how all the churches in this area of like-minded faith got together yesterday. And Lord, the fellowship and the encouragement just to know you're not alone. Lord, there were new churches represented and their churches had been here for a long time represented. And we had one thing in common, and that's you. Lord, thank you, Father, for allowing that to be helpful and a good turnout. But I pray you'd help us this morning as we just find comfort in your word. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. As he goes through this, it says, And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. And I like, he's actually, you know, communing with the Lord here. And it says, and had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock. So he'd been delivered out of Saul and his enemies. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. We all know that, but how do you define those, right? What do they look like in real life? I mean, he doesn't actually put a fortress in front of you. And he doesn't actually physically come down and deliver you in bodily person. Okay. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield. Well, we know he's our shield, but how does the battle we fight is not with flesh and blood, and so how are you supposed to shield something you can't see? And the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. My Savior, thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And those enemies aren't just enemies. They could be enemies of himself. They can be enemies in his family. They can be enemies in his kingdom. They can be enemies in his world. There is an opposition. Every family in here, God doesn't want it to be successful. The devil doesn't want it to be successful. Every individual, you know, you figure one third of all the angels in heaven left with Satan. If you want to know how big a number that is, you're going to have to figure out how to come up with something that represents something you cannot count, because it's one third of an innumerable host. I don't even know what you do with that kind of math, right? So there's a lot of people that are, a lot of demons, a lot of creatures that are working under the authority of Satan that probably far exceed the amount of human beings on this planet. I mean, he's fully equipped to launch what he thinks would be a viable attack on the God of the universe. And in that, you are enemy number one, because God loves you. That's why you enter into this equation, right? And so those enemies are embedded in lots of different things. If you ever had a really good day that turned out really bad because something somebody said to you, or something somebody did to you, or something somebody else has spilled over into your life, and you can feel the stress, you can feel the pain, the sorrow as it just comes in on you, and you have that oppression, and then he gets you here, and then he adds on another thing on top of it, and then he adds another thing on top of it, like Brian. You know, we had a car breakdown earlier that week. There were some other obstacles, you know, when you're doing ministry there. Then Brian's daughter got sick. Found out today it's typhoid. He called me and said, it looks like she's going to be all right. So it was hit one, hit two, hit three. What was all that designed for? Well, the devil don't want Brian in Africa. Right? Doesn't want you to stay married. Doesn't want you to stay happy. Doesn't want you to stay engaged in the Word. Doesn't want to stay. He doesn't want you to stay focused on Him. Doesn't want you to stay in the Bible. He wants to stop you. Enemies everywhere. Right? And David had them. He says, "I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the ways of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid." How many times have we thought to ourselves, you know, you go to pastor and you say, "Pastor, this is what I'm going through." And he says, "Well, you need to pray and you need to ask God to help you." Does that not sometimes seem extremely lame? Although that's the right answer. I'm just being honest with you, right? I mean, because, oh, that's great, but how's that going to help me right now? You ever thought about that in your mind? You ever thought about, you know, that's in pastor, I tell people the same thing because I don't know what else to tell them. You know, go out and shoot yourself. You know, I mean, there's no, I know, although I don't know always how to explain it, I know that there is real help found in the Lord if you take it to Him. But at that moment, it just seems like words sometimes that you don't really know what that looks like, or really, is that actually going to do anything here? You know, is that actually going to, you know, I'm going to take it to the Lord. Like it's just going to almost suddenly snap His fingers and away it goes. And that there is the exact possibility of that happening because He can. Well, David, what he's getting ready to do, he's going to show you what that looks like. I can't remember if I did this before here or not, but if so, we're going to go through it again because it's what I got this morning. So it says this. He says, "The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. In my distress," you've ever been distressed? You ever been distressed? Yes, sir. Okay. If you've ever been depressed, whatever, give me a good Sunday morning amen. There you go. Okay, so that's everybody in this room. In my distress, what did he do? He called upon the Lord. You ever thought, well, what is that actually going to do? Well, he's going to show you this. "And I cried to my God, and he did hear my voice." I underlined that. So you have to believe that when you cry on the Lord and you go to God for whatever it is, and you say, "God, I need some help here. It is a burden that I cannot handle on my own. It is a stress that is bearing down on me that maybe it I've seen work get so hard that it spills over to home and then causes problems at home because of the stress that's brought on by work, and then home gets a little crazy, and then the kids get a little crazy, and it starts to go out of control on every level, you know. And it's that living a life in a broken world oftentimes has those distresses on it. It affects how we treat people. It affects how we treat each other. And then it's a distress. He calls on the Lord. "He did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ear." You have to believe in your mind that you can do that. You can go to God and you can say, "God, I need help. I don't know how to talk to this person. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to take care of this." You know how many times I've counseled, especially in marriage, and you know, one of the things, you know, I'll talk to a guy and he'll say, "Pastor, pray for me, man. It's rough at home." I say, "What's the matter?" "Well, I don't know. She won't tell me." She says, "I should already know." right? I mean, that's, it's like now all of a sudden I got to be psychic, yeah. Along with being a pastor and a father. I now I have to take up reading cards. You know, I'm like, well, just tell me. You know, do you ever just are puzzled by not knowing how to fix somebody else's problem? So now it's become your problem. You know what in the world to tell them? How to make it go away, how to find peace. David's like that right now. And all I know is that I can go to God and it is a real legitimate help. But again, we're still dealing in abstract because I can't see him. So David's going to tell this story about what it looks like when God comes to help. Now, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Then I want you to go through here and you help me understand this as we do this. All right, so we know the problem. He went to God, and he said, God, I have issues. There are people around me have issues. I've got enemies. I need help. All right, what happens next? In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple. All right, then this is what happened. And my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook. David, what happened when you went to God and you told him about your problems? He said, Dave, the earth shook. Now, you believe that? Hey, that's what he wrote. You're going to have to ask him why he embellished the truth. In his mind, at that moment, God Almighty in heaven cared. And when he found out his child was in trouble, even though David was not perfect, God got involved. And when he got involved, the first thing David said is, the moment God found out I needed his help, the earth shook. Well, I'll tell you what will help you the next time you go to God. I want you to envision this sequence as it's happening. I want you to envision going to God and God saying, hey, Mary Jo's in trouble. She's having a hard day. And the angel will say, where are you going? I'm going to Mary Jo. That's where I'm going. And the Bible says the earth shook. I didn't say it. David said that's what it was like. He said the earth shook. Now, do you think he's sitting there and it actually... But in his mind, that's what God did. It says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. The earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. Well, why was he wroth? Because somebody's messing with Pastor. Yeah. You know, why is he wroth? Okay, because one of his children are in distress. Yeah. Why is he wroth? Because the enemy's picking on you. Yeah. Why is he wroth? Because the devil is taking advantage of us. And when he knows about it, he said, hey, the earth shook, the foundation moved. Why did all that happen? Can you see God getting up? Something's in his way. He just shoves it over. He isn't worried about it. He just make another one. And man, he's on the move. Well, this is the way David was explaining something you cannot see. When he called to God and said, God, you know, I own a lot of this mess. I just need help. Will you help me? You can almost hear him say this, I just need my dad. I just need my father. You know, a father has the ability to love even though he knows everything about his kid. I mean, I'm sure there's things of those two boys that you'll keep in your heart forever. Conversations you've had with them, you know them better than anybody in this room. But you love them because you're their dad. And you believe in them and you want them to be successful, you do anything in the world you can for them. God does the same thing for us. And when that happened, you know, he said, this is what took place. In verse 9, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils. Now think about that. So now we're getting this. Didn't know God had nostrils, you know. But he's the one that's, now what do we know in the Bible? You think about a dragon. You think about, you know, this very, I mean, he's portraying this picture of somebody having righteous anger, and he's going to do something about this. And he says, you know, you ever seen somebody say, boy, he's mad, there's smoke coming out of his ears? Right? Okay. That's kind of what he's saying. I don't know what smoke. God's getting ready to move because there's smoke coming out of his nostrils. All right. It's that picture in mind of this very large being that nothing can stop is rising to the occasion, and he's moving, right? And he says smoke was coming out of his mouth. Why is all of these events happening in God? Why? What triggered these movements? What triggered the earth to shake? What triggered the foundations to be moved? What triggered the smoke to come out of his nostrils the way he's writing it right there? It's because he was moved by the fact that somebody he cared about was in need of help, and he went to help them. Because that's what he's talking about here. When you read this, he's describing what it was like for God to help him with Saul. He was talking about what it was like for God to help him with Absalom. He was talking about what it was like for God to help him sleep at night when he realized, boy, he really messed up with Bathsheba. Do you think David ever had nightmares about writing that letter and getting Uriah killed? Of course he did. He's a human being. Do you think he ever walked past the grave where his son was buried and stood there and cried and thought, man, I let you down. I didn't even get a chance to see you grow up. Well, sure he didn't. Why? Because he's a human being. And he's talking about what God did for him to help him with those things. You know, he says this. He bowed. I see there went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens. Also, look at this part. And came down. Whew. Do you think God can still come down here? Pastor, can God still come down here? Yeah. I mean, yeah, there you go. He bowed that and he came down. Ever heard that thing? Wait till your dad gets home. I mean, all of a sudden, God comes down. Now, I know you're thinking, is that, I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says and what he wanted you to do with this. It's in relation to how he felt about God, who's abstract and you cannot see, helped him in a real problem that was in his life. That's what he's telling you. And he's saying, hey, how'd God... He came down. I mean, like, Pastor, man, God came down and helped me. And in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, right. You know, have you ever said that? You ever heard somebody tell you something that was almost supernatural, and in your mind, you're like, yeah, next thing he's going to tell me he's Joel Osteen, right? You know, I mean, you just think things in your mind like, yeah, God came down, really? You know, but that's what he's saying. He bowed the heavens and... He came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Now, I would really like to see how big that cherub was. Yes. Right? I mean, if God's getting on him, that's huge. I can't even imagine what kind of creature would have to be made to carry God. But David said, oh, how'd he get here? Well, he hopped on a cherub and he flew to my rescue. He covered galaxies in seconds. You know, he traveled universes, you know, and left his kingdom in heaven and came down here. He didn't come down here for millions of people in the story. He came down here in the help and the aid of one person. That means you don't have to tell me everything that burdens you down. You just have to tell the Lord, right? And I just know this, people have stories. Look, man, I love my mom, love her to death. I mean, a good mom. My mom helped me with the love of animals. That was my escape. She taught me how to guard, bought my first shotgun because my dad couldn't because he was a felon. Now, my mom's a good lady. My mom carried a secret for 32 years that I didn't know about. I had no idea about it. You know, then one day, she shared with me that the dad that I thought was my dad wasn't my dad. You know, I was like, hey, whoa. Where'd that come from, right? But you know, I was very happy for my mom, although at the moment wasn't really excited about that because I was trying to grasp, well, now who do I look like? You know, what really is my last name? You know, and am I my own grandpa? You know, and you think, man, how did that happen? You know, but I can tell you this. I was very, very, very relieved for my mother because she got freedom from something she carried for years. And I know those stories in different ways are locked in every person in this room. Not like that. But you know what I'm saying? We all have those things that shape how we think about life and who we are and because why. You know what I thought? You know, even in the good old days, weren't so good. And then I can go back. You know, I've had people tell me that even their grandmothers who are like 90 years old, and this guy told me that he didn't even know who his dad was, and his mother was 90. And I'm thinking, man, back then I didn't know there. You know, all I'm saying is that humanity just we swim in this stuff, and God came down individually to help David here. It's not over. He says, through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them lightning and discomfited them. Now, do you think that lightning struck Saul and thunderings, you know, scared all his enemies and that was a physical thing that he heard with his ears? No. He's just telling you in a testimony in his mind of what it looked like as God began to intervene in every one of those things. Even he would even describe it how God let him build the temple. I mean, he wasn't allowed to actually go build it, but David got to fund it. You know what? God was sitting down with his son with David and saying, "Hey, Dave, it's okay. You can't do that because it got a little messy. But come on, I'll give you something to do for me." He got to fund that. And he's saying, God came in and he helped me. And it was like as though he shot arrows out from heaven, and every problem that I had, it hit the mark. And it began to work in those problems. And it's like, even though my enemies were screaming, there was something louder than that. There was a thunder from heaven as he began to speak to those people. And he began to work in the backgrounds and bring peace in places I didn't think there could be peace. It goes on, well, like, could you imagine Bathsheba coming to David again and saying, "Hey, I just got back from the doctor. You're going to be a dad." Imagine David sitting down there putting his ear on Bathsheba's tummy. And God saying, "You know, I still love you. This one's going to be king." Whew. Man, you talk about, you ever just felt like you're worthless? And then God comes along and just says, "No, you're not. Yeah, you messed up. First one's at home with me. Hey, Dave, you learned how to walk today." This one's going to be king. That's one of those arrows that he shot out from heaven. Addressed a problem that was hurting David. And that's what he's talking about. God helping him through these problems. You know, he said it was as though that actually literally happened. Goes on to say this, "And the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above," and what does it say he did? "He took me out of many waters." So you think about when you look and somebody's in this river that's just a torrent, and it's got all kinds of rapids, and David's in the middle of it. That's what he's like in his mind. He's in the middle of this, and it says that he sent from above and he reached down and he took me out of many waters. He rescued me. I was going to drown, And he sat down and he, see, guys, it's not just about his enemies. It's about him being his own enemy. And he's saying, hey, I was drowned. There are things that the enemies did to me, but then there were things I did to myself. And God drew me out of many waters. Do you think that he was literally drowning and God reached down from heaven and took him out of there? No, but that's, I hope that at some point in your life that you have, you know that God would do this for you. Or maybe he already has done that for you. But that's, that, I mean, it's as real, it's almost as though you could put a play on about your problems and this is what it looked like when God helps you. You could even make that, you could even entitle that. This is what it looks like when God helps you. And then do this almost fiction type play. And go, what was that all about? Well, that's what it looks like when God helps me. You know, goes on to say, he delivered me from my strong enemy. Look at this, guys. And from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. My friend, everybody in this room will run into something that is too strong for you. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how talented you are. You will run into something that you cannot handle, that is too strong for you. And you are going to have to go to God and say, this is too big for me. I need your help. He's saying, my enemies, my strong enemies, you are no competition for the devil. And everybody in this room would fall miserably if it was not for God. Everybody would. Because you cannot do it alone. That is why you don't want to minimize church, the Bible, Christian fellowship, living right, praying, asking for. Those are not things that are optional. Those are things that are absolutely necessary because they keep you in connection with him, right? Because you are going to bump into something that is too strong for you, that you cannot handle on your own. But God can show up and he can more than handle that. You can't handle it, but he can handle that. I know they say religion's for weak-minded people. I might not be too far from the truth because I am weak and I need God. Yeah. I need God. Pastor, and I've started to pray lately. I know he can do it. I mean, just start. I want to really pray as though it's already been answered. And then I want to walk away and wear that as a cloak of comfort because I know he can, right? So he goes on to say this, they prevented me in my day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because, what does it say? Okay. Have you ever felt like, so, you know, when I preach at home, I try to do it in such a way that people know that I am a human being. Now, I'll tell you, in Bible college, big debate. Whether or not the people that we pastor should ever know that we're human. You know, I figured I'd just get it out of the way right at first, you know. And then hope you can deal with it from then. But one of the things that especially with young couples, because I do a lot of counseling. I've even had them look at me and say, well, yeah, you know, you don't understand. I mean, you got a great home and a perfect marriage. And I'm like, what planet are you living on? I mean, I need to meet this guy because I don't live with him, that's for sure. You know, and the thing of it is that there are times when I felt all alone. You just feel like that everybody, there could be a day when you got problems here, and then all of a sudden there's a little rift at home, which creates a division there. And then you pick up the phone with the kids, and you got an argument with them. And then you realize, I am literally at war with every human being on this planet. There's no rest, you know? And then that's what he was saying about David. He said, but God delighted in me. And you know what? He will always delight in you. Even when you mess up. Would you love to have seen the conversation as, and again, it's very vivid in my mind. So David has this whole thing with Nathan, and Nathan says, thou art that man. I don't know what happens next, Pastor, because it doesn't tell us. But I'm sure after coming to grips, see, that story was God saying, hey, Dave, there's an elephant in the room, and we need to talk about the elephant. The whole Nathan thing was just acknowledging to David, we can no longer ignore the elephant. So I'm assuming that David and God sat down. And you read Psalms 51, where David just pours his heart out to God. Wouldn't you love to have been in that room as God sat down to David and said, and David's just beating himself up. You know, against thee and thee only have I sinned. You can see God sitting down to David and said, you know what, David? There ain't a thing in the world I could know about you that's going to change how I feel about you. Because I love you. And I will always love you. Man, that is just such a comforting, thought to know. He did all of that for David because he delighted in him. And either there's going to be a train in the room or that's the bell. So it says, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. We can go on and on, but we'll end there. And I just like that. I go to that chapter a lot because I don't want to forget what that looks like, right? And, you know, there will continue to be those days where we find things too strong for us. And I mean, just the stories, you know, you hear them every day. I actually got a phone call in Africa from this phone number in Missouri. I answered it. And lady on the other end said, Donna. I'm like, nope. No Donna here. Oh, sorry. I was looking for Donna. I said, well, you called Africa. Very sweet lady. Well, what are you doing in Africa? I'm like, I'm a missionary. And I pastor church. So you're serving God. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I was trying to call Donna because Donna was my daughter's best friend. And my daughter died. I had this 10-minute conversation with this lady. I don't know if I'm Adam. She was lonely. Here I am sitting in Africa thinking, you got to be kidding me. I mean, if you only knew where I was sitting when you called me. But it wasn't about that. I was just reminded about human beings. And I thought, if this lady just needs a friend, I'm going to be her friend for just a few minutes. And she told me about her daughter and how Donna visited her and took care of her when she was sick, and she was just wanted to reach out and tell her thank you. That's why she was trying to find Donna. And I got down on the phone, and she said, hey, this is nice talking to you. And we hung up. Because we are people that can get that way. But although you might not be able to call some random stranger and talk to them and find any kind of help, you can in God, right? So the next time you need some place to run to him. And then maybe you can put down on paper what it looked like when he helped you, because that's what David did. David used all of those adjectives and adverbs. And all, what do adjectives and adverbs do? Without those, the preaching could be done in like 5 minutes. You know, what they do, they just make the story bigger and bigger and bigger. And every adverb and adjective he used about God, God just became this overwhelming force that could conquer anything that loved David. And that's cool, right? That's cool to know. And you in your own right, if you approach God this way, you could also write down what it looked like when he helped you. Father, thank you for taking care of us. I pray you'd be with us in the next service. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.